Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So we follow on from last week when we were reintroduced once again to John the Baptist in the wilderness, beginning to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. We call John the Baptist, presumably because baptism was a significant aspect of his ministry. But he wasn't just a baptizer. Baptism, just one aspect. To call him the Baptist doesn't capture the whole of who he was, the importance of who he was. He was also a prophet. John the prophet, claiming to be God's voice, pointing to what was to come, telling the people what was ungodly in their times and the need to change, to repent. He was also John the preacher, as he spoke of the one who is more powerful than he who was coming. It wasn't baptisms that got John into trouble with Herod. It was his tongue. It was what he said. Immediately following the gospel today, we can read of John's imprisonment, because he was not afraid to point out the inappropriateness of Herod's relationship to his brother's wife. Just reading this passage back has reminded me that whilst living in the UK isn't perfect, we have the gift of free speech, as I witnessed in central Manchester yesterday with a strong protest over what is happening in Gaza. Try living in Russia and speaking the truth about what's happening in the Ukraine, and you will pay the price for your outspokenness. There are many places in the world where freedom of speech is not so warmly welcomed, and people live in fear or oppression. John the preacher was not afraid to be openly honest. His interest in speaking out or being prophetic in his words came from a desire to take the light away from him and point to the one who is coming, far greater than him. What is interesting about the crowds that Luke speaks of in this gospel today who came to see John in the wilderness is the diversity of who was present there. People of Jewish background, the everyday people, the tax collectors, who were also Jewish but had a Roman employer in collecting the hefty taxes from the people, many of whom were poor. And the soldiers. Commentaries have different views on this. It was possibly soldiers representing the Sanhedrin, or possibly even Roman soldiers present from the Gentile world. Because Luke's gospel is structured in that way, the gospel is for everyone. This is Luke's way of telling it. And each group was given the answer by John as to what they should do to be right with God. Whether that be sharing food and clothing, being fair in tax dealings, or being honest in monetary dealings. And to not delay in mending their ways, for the axe was lying at the root of the tree, ready to swing into action. But despite John's direct and belligerent approach, he was clearly a charismatic and exciting presence, whom people flocked to see. And not just to see, but were filled with expectation, we're told. They were not put off by his shocking description of them as a brood of vipers. Perhaps they really were desperate for things to improve. Could John be the one who would bring change in for the people there? How easily John could have got carried away from his position, his own perceived importance. But far from it, he was clear on his position, where he stood, shunning the glory for the one who is to come. John would baptize with water, but Jesus' baptism would be far more powerful and effective and transformative, the gift of the Spirit. The crowd's excitement and anticipation heightened even further because the real deal was yet to come. All John wanted to do was point to Jesus. And that should be our desire too in the life of the church. What then should we do? The people asked. That's a question each one of us must ask each day. What then should we do? What does Jesus want from us? What is his will, his desire? And in doing so, humility must remain, as we seek to live out Jesus' command to love others. Jesus always deflected attention from himself to his Father, giving glory to God the Father. John deferred to Jesus, and so too for us. Our desire should be for others to come to meet Christ in and through us, but to point people to Christ. But let not humility mean that we cannot be filled with courage. It shouldn't mean timidity. John the Baptist stood up for what was right. Herod was a lousy role model, and particularly in his relationship. That would be costly for John. He would lose his head for it. We may not have the occasional opportunity to call things out in this way, but it has to be said, recent safeguarding scandals high up in the church, which are seemingly beyond us, but we can all play our part in keeping our own house in order and safe, and not be afraid to hold those higher up to account. And then in the news this week, you think about that poor girl, Sarah Sharif, who was let down so badly by the authorities for whatever reason. People could have acted, and she was let down and suffered immeasurably. Truly shocking. What can we do? We simply have to do what we can in our own sphere of influence to make the world a better place. By allowing the gospel to give us ears to hear, eyes to see those who are weak, disadvantaged, oppressed, or simply lonely. Taking time to listen and bringing light into someone's day, perhaps even allowing an unexpected interruption to what we plan to do, allowing that interruption to take priority. Every day, we should ask the same question the crowds did. What then should we do? For good works are the outward expression of the faith that we have, and good works reveal to whom we belong. Amen.